for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving it with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or came from the bottom or hitting that topping. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping. And woo! This is the arm chat, yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah.
What is going on, guys, and welcome to episode 319 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I am your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We are live every Wednesday night on the Going for Two Live Podcast Network on Facebook Live, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Of course, syndicated on all major podcast networks. If you are on Twitter, we can't see your comments, so go find us on YouTube. It's youtube.com/@GoingForTwoLive. Make sure to like and subscribe while you're there. Ryan, my co-host, as always. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. I'm being harassed right now. I apologize for the giggling over here.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on. Did I say something stupid?
Nothing for me to talk about on the show, but it completely just threw me off of this world. So, yeah, we're a week from the draft. It's exciting.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Also joining us tonight, he hasn't been on in a while. He's been on a couple times on the show, but hasn't been on a while, Mr. Miguel Shapton. He's the creator of the Prospect Success Indicator, PSI. You can follow him at ProFootballPSI. Miguel, give us a quick rundown of what you do and what PSI actually means.
Yeah, for sure. One, thanks for having me back on. It's good to see you guys again. Good to talk football. I know we got the draft just, a week away. PSI. It's a model of advanced weighted metrics designed to kind of cut through the noise and biases that we may have to increase, our hit rates as dynasty owners. It compares the incoming rookie profiles to that of the composite profile of all of the historical top 24 wide receivers that we've seen in the league. Prospects are then measured against that profile, and the output of that is the percentile rank that tells you how closely their profile matches to that composite profile. So, why does that matter? Because right now, I just released earlier this month the pre-draft report that came out. And in that report, 83% of all of the wide receivers that have ever gone on to be top 24 wide receivers are already in the top, 60th percentile and above, which is what that report shows you. So call it 8 of 10. If 10 of them hit, 8 of them are already in that report. So if you're drafting early, it's a great report to go look at, help narrow down that field for you. And help increase those hit rates. So, if you want to check it out, go to profootballpsi.com and look for the Marvin Mims picture and click on that.
Yeah, good stuff. You've had some pretty good hits over the last couple of years, too, that, some guys that were sort of the sleepers that, maybe they weren't fantasy relevant, but they've had some decent NFL careers. Justin Watson's still in the league. I know he was one of your boys. And who's the guy that took the Colts?
He'll
right
break
now?
Out at age 29.
Yeah.
Austin Doolin. Yeah, Austin Doolin's still in the league doing his thing, too. That's the two that would kind of pop out.
Austin Doolin. Hey, he's a Pro Bowl special teamer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff.
Obviously didn't play out for fantasy, but coming from whatever college, Malone.
Yeah.
Does that college even exist anymore? Who knows?
Yeah.
but yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Today's show, as always, guys, brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Check out their industry-leading best ball leagues with huge tournaments, private leagues, and pick'ems for every major sport. Use our promo code GF2 to get a deposit match up to $100. It's as simple as that. Sign up. Use promo code GF2 and get started drafting your best ball teams. We will be having a bunch of best ball teams starting up here, a bunch of best ball leagues. So be on the lookout for that as well. Tonight's show, we got a great show tonight. So tonight is officially our last show before the draft. We do have our NFL mock draft show on Sunday, but our official last Wednesday show until after the draft. So tonight we're going to do a 3-round Superflex rookie mock draft. And we're going to use a mock draft, an NFL mock draft from CBS Sports to use them as landing spots. Like if that was the actual NFL draft where these guys go, we're going to use that for our rookie mock. We'll also potentially do some stock up, stock down, depending on how much time we have left at the end of the show. But as always, let's start off the podcast with our nonsense draft.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
All right. So it's a 3-round mock draft. And tonight we are drafting Super Mario Brothers characters that you would like to have on your side in a bar fight. And as always, the guest goes first. And Ryan kind of mentioned before the show that there's a clear 101. I think there's a 101 and a 101A. But I'm curious, Miguel, what your 101 here is.
There's a clear 101.
Clear.
Jeez. Well, I'm going to take Bowser because the new Peaches song is just dope. And I'm going to want him on my squad. Got to have the biggest patty.
Good stuff. Yeah, Bowser. It was between Bowser for me as the 101 and the guy that I'm about to take at the 102 here. And that's Donkey Kong.
Those are my two.
Those are the top two right there. Obviously, if anybody's watched the new movie that just came out, Donkey Kong's kind of a beast in that one as well. So yeah, Donkey Kong was my would have been my 101, but Bowser was a close second for sure. All right, Ryan, you got the unfavorable spot three here. What you got?
Yeah, 101, 102, and this man is who it's named after. He's in over 200 video game appearances. Yes, he loses his lady, I don't know, like every 3 months or so. But he always fights everybody and always wins her back. And that's Mario. Yeah. He whoops up on all of them on a daily basis. I probably underestimate him because Donkey Kong's got all them muscles and stuff. But Mario's a beast, bro.
Yeah, the only thing about Mario, that the reason why I didn't take him at 102 is because...
The CTE?
Well, not only that, but when he shows up... CTE. When he shows up to the bar, he's about... 3 feet, 3.5 feet tall. Like, I feel like we're going to get picked on, and we're
now
definitely getting...
Now you're going to get canceled for being sizes.
I just... If people see how small he is, they don't know how strong he is.
And I think it's attacking Italians as well.
Ryan's trying to make this... Trying to get me canceled here with woke culture. All right, Miguel, we're back to you at the 104 here.
I'm going to take Yoshi. I mean, how many of them can eat you and turn you into an egg? Like, you're done. Fight's over. You're stuck. So give me Yoshi.
Solid one.
Yeah, Yoshi's definitely a
beast. This is going like exactly how it should.
Yeah, I agree. I think Yoshi would have been my pick as well here. So I'm going to go a little bit off script here and pick one that maybe y'all didn't have on your list. But Bullet Bill. He's that big, giant bullet with a smiley face that chases you everywhere you go.
He's so annoying.
He is so annoying. But if you showed up at a bar with a big-ass bullet, I like my chances. He only gets one shot, though. I mean, once he goes off. So hopefully he takes out the biggest guy at the bar. But I'll take Bullet Bill here at the 105. Ryan, you got the 106.
I'm going to take Mario's evil friend, Wario. Does all the same things with Mario, but he got more trickeration behind his up his sleeve.
Yeah, agreed. I had Wario on my list as well.
Very loose morals.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you got to have another villain.
Yeah, definitely. All right, back to you, Miguel, for your 107 here, your last pick here.
I would say that if we could pick anything in the Mario world, I would take a blue shell. but I'm gonna go with King Boo. I mean, you got the big baddie. He's a ghost. Can't punch a ghost. So,
you
do an excellent job.
That's a great pick.
Bar fight.
That's a great pick. He's gonna come up behind him because you know you can't move when you face him.
You can't look at him.
Yeah, I like it. Good stuff. All right, for my last pick here, I'm gonna go with another guy. That I hope that me and Donkey Kong can hold it down because with Bullet Bill getting his one shot in, this guy's going to only get one shot as well. And that's King Bob Omb. Bomb. It's the big bomb that goes off. You know, I think if you watch the movie, he's the one that has like the mustache and everything. So he gets his one shot to explode. Might take a few people out with him, not just one, but I'm going to take him here with my last pick at the 107. And then me and Kong will clean up the rest of the guys. All right, Ryan, bring us home here at the 109.
Yeah, I'm taking the Super Mario Big Fish, Cheap Chomps.
Nice.
You can't kill, no one ever kills the fish, you just run from them.
That's true. That is absolutely true.
He might be undefeated.
That's a good deep cut.
That's a good one. I didn't have him on my list at all. Great call.
Yeah, I didn't either.
All right, let's go ahead and get into our 12-team Superflex mock draft.
Attention, everyone. Let's mock draft.
So as I mentioned at the top, we're going to use a NFL mock draft. It was a full 7-round mock draft that CBS Sports put out, and we're going to use that as gospel, basically claiming that that'll be the actual landing spots, that they are 100% right on the landing spots. So let's go ahead and get to the picks here. And Miguel, you got the 101 here. So I have a feeling this is probably one of the easiest picks of the draft.
Oh, God. Am I going to take a kicker? No. Yeah, we're going to go with Bijan Robinson. He's going to the Bills. You got to love that high-powered offense. You know, he's going to get a lot of... They're going to be in the red zone a lot, so the touchdowns could be high now. Josh Allen could be stealing those. But, you know, maybe after a lot of years of him being the running back on the Bills, they finally are going to maybe tone him down a bit and not injure their star quarterback and hopefully take them further into the playoffs. So I think that'd be a really great spot for Bijan. And, you know, he gets compared a lot to Marshawn Lynch, and that's where Marshawn Lynch, is that where he started?
Yes, where career? He started. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. Stars are aligning.
Yeah, so I wasn't as excited about the Bills landing spot because of the reasons you mentioned that, you know, Josh Allen is still there. But I guess if you're going to draft a running back in the first round at the 127, like this mock has, I guess you're going to have to use him, right? Especially because it's Bijan. You don't take him off the field. He can catch passes, too.
Yeah, I mean, Allen will still get his rushing yards, but you got to imagine that they'll try to curtail that a bit. They won't completely neutralize him because it's what makes him special, but they'll give way to Robinson here.
Yeah, I agree. And the high-powered offense definitely helps for sure. All right, Ryan, you're up at the 102 here.
I'm taking Bryce Young over to the Texans. I know it's not a super sexy landing spot at first thought, with the receivers being Nico Collins and Robert Woods. Spoiler alert, they also get JSN in this draft, which makes this a whole lot prettier, plus have a solid run game. I think it's a good match for him with Micah Ryans as the coach. I'm a big fan of that spot for him.
Yeah, I think I agree there, too. I think Bryce Young is who I would have taken over Stroud.
And no one's talking about his... I feel like his rushing upsides kind of get forgotten because of Anthony Richardson taking the shine on that. But Bryce Young is going to rush for 400, 500 yards.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so yeah, that's how the 1 and 2 would have gone for me as well, and I'm going to take the other quarterback that we just mentioned, C.J. Stroud. He actually goes 101 to the Panthers. They're kind of in a rebuild a little bit, but I do think Stroud is pretty much ready to start right away, and if he goes here at the 101, he will be the starter there. Offensive pieces aren't great, but I do think that in the long run, I think Stroud is who I'd want here. All right, back to you, Miguel, at the 104 here.
All right, this might surprise some anyone who follows me on Twitter, but let's keep the QB train rolling. Let's go with Anthony Richardson. He's going to the Colts. I mean, what a great team to land on if you want to start right away. Who do they have as a
Gardner Minshew?
Is that it? Oh, my God. That's it.
That's their starter as of right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts do not have a starting quarterback right now, so anyone who lands there is going to give you a lot of instant production. Got a good cast. You know, not going to wow you. You got Pittman. Who was the guy from Cincinnati they got last year? Pierce.
Yeah, Pierce.
And then Jelani Woods. So, like, a lot of guys that, you know, could potentially be, you know, hopefully pretty good, but they haven't proven it yet. And then you still got JT in the backfield to save you. So what an excellent spot to land in. I mean, Richardson and JT can just go running wild. And if Richardson can, you know, complete better than 50% of his passes, then all of a sudden you're coming up real big. So the Robinson-Richardson stack there is all upside.
Yeah,
upside.
That's a good call right there. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, you look at Justin Fields last year and what he did, and he barely threw the ball. I think he had like 2,000 yards passing, and he ended up being like quarterback six just based on rushing alone. So,
yeah, he almost rushed more than he ran. I mean, anyone who's followed me knows that I'm not on Team Fields, but when it comes to real life, but fantasy, I mean, it's not actual football. So yep. It's just a game based on a game.
Yep.
And they're going to give you points. So,
all right, Ryan, you got the 105 here.
I'm Real torn, but I'm going to go JSN just because it's the younger receiver. I like the idea of him and Bryce growing together. So I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the top five right there, I think, in Superflex leagues. I think almost, you know, not even, you know, counting the landing spots here. I think
those it's spots, pretty unanimous.
Yeah, I think
those. And Gibbs sneaks in there sometimes.
Yeah, the only way that something would change that is if, like, Richardson goes to somewhere that has an established quarterback and maybe he sits behind him for 1 or 2 years. But I think those are the five right there. At the 106, I am on the clock here, and I am going to go with do I want to go with my boy here, or do I want to take the safe route? I'm going to go with the safe route here, and I'm going to take the running back. The running back two here, the Jahmyr Gibbs. He goes 209 to the Saints. obviously, Kamara is going to have a suspension in the beginning of the season, and he's sort of going to be a replacement for Kamara, I think, eventually. Catches balls out of the backfield. You know, I think he may not get, like, the full workload. You know, he may be a committee back, but I do think that he gets the larger part of the workload. And with the pass catching ability, I think he definitely is going to pan out. So I'll take Jahmyr Gibbs here at the 106.
Right. I hate you.
Is that who you wanted?
That's what I was hoping would land, and it would be just absolute, like, team ultimate upside. Like, wow. Yeah,
you'd have a solid.
That's who I was debating with JSN on.
Yeah, that's his landing spot was pretty good too. I like the landing spot.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Miguel, you're up at the 107.
Let's see. I guess I'm gonna go with Quentin Johnston. He's going to the Giants. The Giants don't have any weapons. So he kind of walks in and should be the guy from day one. You know, even if it is Daniel Jones throwing him the ball, you know, it's a pretty good landing spot for a wide receiver room because all he's got to compete with is the kid from Kentucky last year.
Hodgins.
Wandale Robinson.
Wandale
Robinson. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, who, you know, could just be another Rondale Moore who does nothing. So, yeah, give me Quentin Johnston here. Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe pick. Hopefully a lot of instant production just based off of the offense he's going to, even with the poor quarterback.
Yeah, I think too, if he was to land there, I think they have a whole team full of slot receivers. You know, he's like the one that stands out.
Yeah, I mean, all slots.
Yeah.
They got Darren Waller, which is great, but, you know, is it prime Darren Waller or is it give you 5 weeks out of the year Darren Waller? You know, probably the latter.
Yep, agreed.
I mean, they have six slot receivers on their team right now.
Yeah.
Legitimately six.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how they are planning on improving upon last year's results. But
yeah.
Paris Campbell, bro.
Paris Campbell, God. Is that where he is?
Yeah, he's a New York Giant now.
Because they need another slot.
So he can catch a couple passes in the flat and get hurt, and then that'll be it.
Yeah, they're feeling real slotty on a Tuesday night.
All right, Ryan, you were up here at the the 108.
Oh my God, this is probably my favorite landing spot of any of these, and it's Jordan Addison to the Vikings. Like, we've seen a completely washed Adam Thielen get 100 targets last year and not be able to do anything after the ball. Addison has explosiveness. They like a great route runner in the slot, which Addison can play outside. He can also play inside. He's a phenomenal route runner. He knows how to get open. He will never see double coverage in his entire career as long as he's crossed Justin Jefferson. He's going to freaking eat.
Yeah, that actually, if that does happen, I think Addison could potentially jump the guy that I have next in my...
Oh, he's easily my wide receiver two.
Yeah.
If that landing spot.
Yeah, so my receiver two right now, currently, without knowing landing spots, is Zay Flowers. And that's who I'm going to take here at the 109. Zay Flowers goes to the Chargers in the first round at 121. I know they got some pieces there already, but we've heard rumors that Keenan Allen could be on the way out, if not this year, then next year for sure. Zay Flowers can step into that sort of Keenan Allen role, and he gets first round draft capital. Outside of the Jordan Addison great landing spot, I like Zay Flowers more than Addison, but I'll take Flowers here at the 109 for sure all day. All right, we're at the 110 here. Miguel, what you got?
Struggling between two. Can the other one make it back to me? I'm going to take Israel. I'm going to butcher his last name. Rabbenkanda?
Was that? It's just like it's spelled.
Yeah. So we all know who it is. How about?
Yeah, I'm not even going to try. Yeah. I'm going to take him. Let's go into the Bengals. You know, with Mixon likely on the way out. It's a great, great piece to have, and who knows, Mixon might be out by the end of the draft here, or maybe he's a post June 1st cut. So, yeah, give me him with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and the whole gang.
Are you not afraid of that draft capital that he got? Because he got drafted all the way in the sixth round of this. Now, granted, he was the only running back taken by the Bengals, but at 6.28, that's a late pick there.
I'll still take it.
Yeah,
I'm not afraid. I like his profile. He's built like a workhorse. He's got great athleticism. Everything about him kind of just screams that he'll provide value.
Yeah, and you're right. If Mixon is gone, I mean, there's nobody else really there because Pirine's is in Denver now. So
yeah, give me all the opportunity there.
Absolutely, I like the pick. All right, Ryan, 111.
I'm just doing it. I'm taking my boy. I'm taking Jalin Hyatt here. I think he brings a lot to the Titans. I'm sticking with my rankings, but he also brings a lot to the Titans they don't have, which is a player on their team who can stretch the field. Treylon Burks is very limited and stills unforced to cover him because of his size and run after catch. Jalin Hyatt's going to take the top off that offense. Yes, they need to get quarterback situations solved, but it could be something nice in the future if they can get somebody who can throw the ball downfield.
I like it. I like it at the 111 there. All right, so I'm on the clock now, and I'm looking at the current rankings, trying to compare landing spots to see who I like. I think if I was just to go strictly off of the current rankings, Zach Charbonnet would be the answer. And I don't hate his landing spot, so I'm going to go ahead and take Zach Charbonnet here with this last pick in the first round. He goes 322 to the Ravens, which I know they already got J.K. Dobbins there, but we know how much that
Ravens team. And Gus Bus.
Yeah, and Gus Bus is still there as well. But I think Charbonnet can eventually, maybe not year one, I think eventually he could make some noise in that offense. They run the ball plenty of times. So I'll take a chance here on Zach Charbonnet going to the Ravens. Moving into the second round here. What you got, Miguel?
Well, since this is super flex, I will take Will Levis. Not because I believe in him, because I don't, but if this is fantasy, I can trade him as an asset and someone else might want him. So give me Will Levis.
Yeah, Will Levis is a first round pick in this mock. He goes 119 to the Bucks. And the Bucks, who is the Bucks starting quarterback as of right now? Would it be Kyle Trask?
Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
Oh, Mayfield there. That's right. Mayfield's there. Yeah. Will Levis.
Is
a fine pick there for sure. All right, let me recap the first round real quick before we do the next pick. We had, of course, Bijan went 101, Bryce Young, Stroud, and Richardson went 2, 3, and 4. JSN was the first receiver off the board, no surprise, at the 105. Jahmyr Gibbs was the running back 2 at the 106. And we had 3 straight receivers, Quentin Johnson, Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers. Izzy Abikanda, I still can't pronounce his name.
Well, right, that was good. I think that was right.
That was right. Okay, we'll go with that. He's at the 110. Jalin Hyatt at the 111, and then Sharbs finishes off the first round at the 112. We kicked off the second round here with Will Levis and Foss. You were on the clock here at the 202.
Thanks, Cedric Tillman. I love him in Kansas City. Normally, I'm like, oh, Kansas City receivers is the most overrated spot in sports, but we saw what a really good possession receiver could do last year with Juju, who had 100 targets for 933 yards. But Cedric Tillman showed touchdown upside of Tennessee. So I like him there. I think he becomes their number 2 wide receiver. Their top receiver. I include Travis Kelce, but I can see him being their number 2 guy in targets.
Number 2 receiver, just not wide receiver. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, Kelce's... He's just Kelce.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so I am on the clock here at the 103, and you definitely just sniped me there because that's really who I wanted to get.
I didn't even know you liked him.
I do like him, and I've actually been moving him up my boards in the Chiefs landing spot with that current committee they have is not great. Let's see, where am I going here? Because the guys that are currently ranked, at least through Sleeper's ADP, the next guy on the board would be Josh Downs. And let's see, where did Josh Downs land? I think he landed with the Saints, I believe.
Pats?
Oh, the Pats. Pats. Yeah, yeah. Ugh, I don't know if I want to go there.
They love a slot receiver.
They do, but man, I don't know. I don't know if I could pull the trigger on that. Where did the first tight end off the board, where did he go? He went...
Cincy.
Oh, Mayer went to Cincy?
Michael Mayer.
Yeah.
Do I want to pull the trigger on a tight end here? Good spot. Yeah, that's a great landing spot. I think I will. I think I'm going to pull the trigger here on the first tight end and go with Mayer. I don't think Mayer was a tight end one in this mock draft. I believe someone was drafted before him when I was doing these. Musgrave, maybe. Went earlier to the Packers, I believe. But I'll take Mayer going to the Cincinnati Bengals here with a good landing spot. 204, Miguel.
Well, screw it. Let's keep the tight end party going. Give me Darnell Washington.
Oh, never mind.
At the Pats. No, you can have Dalton Kincaid. I love Washington. I think he's the tight end that profiles most closely to being elite. I mean, his athleticism is off the charts. Sure, yes, he's getting knocked because, oh, God, he blocked. Yeah, well, that was like something that he did really well that a lot of tight ends don't. And Georgia maximized all their people to do what they do really bad, really well. And he just happened to be in the room with a really amazing receiver in the tight end spot with Brock Bowers. So I probably would have done the same thing if I was the head coach. But that doesn't mean he can't catch. I mean, you watch his highlight tape. It's just some of the most fun tape you'll ever watch. The dude just destroys people. I mean, anyone tries to take him down and it's just like stiff arm, break this tackle, break that tackle. And in the NFL, if he gets in the right spot, you know, he reminds me a lot of Gronk. He profiles really closely to Gronk, and he's going back to, New England's going back to a tight end that profiles that way. And yeah, give me that all day long.
Yeah, that's a really good call. I like that one as well. And you're right. I mean, he's a freaking beast, and you know, he has the hands to go with it. And we've said this before in the podcast too. When you can block as a tight end, you're not coming off the field in quote unquote running downs. So that play action running, you know, a run play where you can play action, the tight end's wide open, he's going to catch easy touchdowns that way. So,
yeah, I mean, he might not get you, you know, whatever Gronk did in terms of yardage, but he might catch you 10 touchdowns in the end zone. And in fantasy, that is
money.
All you're looking for.
Yep. That's so a tight end. That's tight end six, tight end five right there, just based on touchdowns alone.
Just on touchdowns alone.
Yep. All right, Ryan, 205.
Keep the tight end party going, Dalton Kincaid. I actually had him. I love that landing spot for him. I think he is the best profile as just a pure receiving threat tight end. With how prolific Detroit's offense was last year, his explosiveness should fit in. And in all reality, they don't really have a red zone threat. Like, as great as Amon-Ra was, he only had 6 touchdowns last year with 146 targets. Also, you don't have a real Jameson Williams isn't really a red zone threat. They lost their top running back as a red zone threat. Like the touchdown upside for him in an offense that can score that fast and get down the field like that is really high for him. So him in Detroit, I love.
Yeah, that's a good landing spot. Yep. I agree with all that. Yep. Makes sense.
Agreed. All right, I am up on the clock at what are we at the 206. And I'm running out of easy picks here. You know what? I'm going to pull the trigger on this guy. He goes in the third round in this mock draft to the Cardinals, who James Conner is currently the incumbent there, but we don't really expect him to either be there very long or potentially not even be good this year. So I will take Tank Bigsby, who at one point was the Debbie running back RB1. He's kind of fallen off of that, obviously. But I do think that there's still some talent there, and going to the Cardinals, that opportunity and getting third round draft capital, actually top of the third too, at the 303. I will take Tank Bigsby here at the 206. All right. 207, Miguel.
I will take Kendre Miller, drafted in the fourth round to the Chiefs. I mean, they don't really have a running back. They've got the guy from Rutgers that they got last year. You know, he was okay. But not someone that's just going to hold down that job and you know, has it solidified so Kendre Miller could come in there and be that workhorse that they're looking for. And, you know, with Patrick Mahomes, that's all you need.
That's all you need, yeah. And it's crazy to me that they have not re-signed Jerick McKinnon yet, who's still a free agent, as well as he played at the end of the season last year. I mean, he's got to be a cheap contract. I can't imagine that they don't sign him at some point this offseason.
Let's make it cheaper. Dude, Pacheco just went for 24 for first in a league, man.
Wow. Oof. I like Pacheco, but I don't know if I like him that much. I don't know if I can.
Yeah, spend the I mean, I liked watching him run, man. He's a fun player to watch. Absolutely. But yeah, I don't know. I think I like Kendre Miller, the way he profiles. Just watching a little bit of him throughout the college football playoffs, you know, he looked great.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Ryan, what you got here?
I'm picking Marvin Mims. I love his profile. He brings something different to the Saints with that deep ball ability. He has good hands. My faith in Michael Thomas playing a full 17, I mean, it's not there. Like, I don't have any faith in that. I really like the idea of him there. So I'm going to take Mims just because I think he has the opportunity to be a team's wide receiver too and get a ton of targets because they're not that good right now.
Yeah, you you definitely sniped me once again on Marvin Mims. I was looking at him at my next pick.
God dang, I was going to take him, but I was like, no, I'll go one more running back and then come back for him. So at least we were all in on Mims.
All in on Mims.
Pick, but yep. I risked it for the biscuit. So.
All right, I'm going to go back to the fact that this is a super flex league and take a quarterback that both Ryan and John Lobb, when he came on, kind of lauded a lot about this guy. I went and watched some tape on him. He looked pretty good. I know he's, you know, he's not one of the top first round guys. He was taken in the third round to the Rams. But Mr. Hendon Hooker, obviously Stafford had some issues last year staying healthy, and, you know, he's expensive too. And that Rams team seems to be going into a rebuild, getting rid of some of their expensive contracts. So I'll take Hendon Hooker in the, you know, in the hopes that he becomes a starter at some point in the NFL. All right, Miguel, you're back on the clock.
All right, at the end of the third round, the Eagles select Zach Evans, running back from Ole Miss. Yeah, I'll be in on that. Miles Sanders is gone. Kenneth Gainwell's good. Like, I'm a big Kenneth Gainwell fan, but I just don't think they're ever going to give him the full workload. I don't think anyone in that backfield's ever going to get the full workload. Well, might be. But what we saw from Miles Sanders, I mean, there's a lot of value in that backfield to be had. You know, Evans was a Devy darling. He kind of fell off. You know, he got displaced by Kendre Miller at TCU and then went to Ole Miss and then got displaced by the freshman that was there. So he's never dominated the backfield wherever he's been. So there are some definitely red flags there. But those that watch his tape really love the way he plays. And, you know, at this point with this draft class of all draft classes, you know, you take the best available that you can get. I think that's Zach Evans here.
Yeah, I like that pick for sure. All right, Ryan, don't snipe me again here. Who do you got at the 111?
I've seen Jamie's comment earlier about taking Roshan above Kendre Miller and Tank Bigsby there. I don't fully disagree. They have Roshan going to the Browns, which, yes, is a little bit scary.
Very ironic, too, because Jamie's a Browns fan, and he doesn't know what
the because like. He would be behind Nick Chubb. You know what? Chubb gets that. If something happens to Chubb, man, he is a premier handcuff.
Yep.
And in line for a lot of carries, and he can do a lot of the same. He has a very, he's a similar running style. And he fits perfectly with that system. So it's a good landing spot for him. It's just when you have to be a little bit more patient. But
I like it.
That's yeah,
it.
I think Chubb is, what, 27, 28? So he's, like, past the age apex or right at the age apex.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he's getting elderly.
Yeah, it's not a bad play.
I like it. All right, so I'm on the clock now. And you didn't snipe me, but I'm trying to decide between a couple different running backs here. And I was trying to see, do y'all see where Sean Tucker went to the Seahawks? Yeah, that definitely eliminates Sean Tucker for me. All right, I'm going to take this guy. I've been avoiding him. I just did a write-up on him on goingfor2.com, and I don't love him. He's too small. But
you hate, you such a sizist.
I
you hate us short kings.
Yeah. Hey. This guy, Devin Achane, of course, was blazing at the combine. Yeah, he lands with the Cowboys, so he's obviously got to compete with Tony Pollard. But if anybody can find a way to use two running backs, it would be the Cowboys. And if they can find a way to get him in space and keep him, you know, from getting, you know, getting lit up at a small guy, I like Achane here all the way at the 212. All right, let me recap that second round. We got Will Levis kicking us off at the 201 there. Cedric Tillman, and then we go three straight tight ends with Michael Mayer, Darnell Washington, Dalton Kincaid. And then two running backs, Tank Bigsby and Kendre Miller. Marvin Mims, and then another quarterback taking Hendon Hooker. And then we go three straight running backs to end the second round with Zach Evans, Roschon Johnson, and Devin Achane at the 212. We are at the 3-1 now, Miguel, and you are up.
Oh, man, it's... Honestly, I feel like... I know some people won't agree, but I feel like after Gibbs, it gets rough real quick.
Yeah.
Jeez. Where do we go? You know what? I'll if you don't take Sean Tucker, I'll take Sean Tucker. I'm a big Sean Tucker fan. He put up some he had a really amazing year 2 years ago. He's got a great receiving profile to go with it. He's a home run hitter. He's like a one cut, just go guy. I know he doesn't have a lot of wiggle to him. Maybe doesn't break enough tackles, but in the right system, you know, he can definitely provide some value. And even though he is going to the Seahawks here, which is going to scare off a lot of people, and likely drop his ADP, what he does do well is he does catch the ball well. And what does Kenneth Walker doesn't do well? He doesn't have a profile for catching passes, and he really didn't do a whole lot of that last year either. So I could see this being a backfield where Sean Tucker comes in on third downs and provides that upside. So yeah, give me Sean Tucker.
Good call. All right. Ryan, you got the 302 here. Things are getting a little interesting now.
I really, really, really want to take Josh Downs, but I'm not missing my guy here, even though I don't think you guys are going to take him. And I don't care. I'm picking Dwayne McBride. He's an absolute horse. He's a true workhorse back. He put up 1,700 yards this year. His yards per carry for his career is at 7.3. He had 19 touchdowns this year. He knows how to get in the red zone. I know it's smaller competition, but he's an absolute bully. He runs through tackles. He can break big plays. And he's in a Chicago offense here where they're going to run the ball a lot because of the quarterback situation. And already he's better than what they have. So I love McBride here.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I wanted to take him in the second. And I figured I could wait. I figured I could wait a little bit.
Yep, good call.
I love yep, no, that worked out well for you.
All right, I'm up at the 303, and there's a couple guys on my list. And when Ryan started to talk about taking his guy, I thought he might have sniped me. I thought I could wait a little bit longer for him, but I'm going to just play it safe and take him here and pass on a guy that I probably should take, but I want this guy on my team. So I'm going to take the guy that goes to the Ravens at 521 and take Rashee Rice.
Well, nice.
I mean, that Ravens team is not the best. It's not known for taking receivers that are any good over the past couple of years. But, you know, they still have Bateman coming off injury. They got OBJ, who's, you know, is what he is. But yeah,
I'll take Superstar OBJ. Yeah.
Superstar OBJ, exactly. So yeah, give me Rashee Rice here going to the Ravens.
All right. Then I'll take Josh Downs. I like Josh Downs. He rates well in the mall. He's a 70th percentile PSI guy. So at this stage, I'll go just off of that.
Yeah, Downs
with who Juju Smith-Schuster, who's kind of a shell of what he used to be, and Tyquan Thornton on the outside, and Darnell Washington. So yeah, he's got a good spot there to provide some value if they can figure out who their quarterback is.
That's a good call. And I think, you know, if we were to do this draft without knowing landing spots, Josh Downs has been going consistently in the first round in a lot of mocks that I've done. So getting him at the 304 just based on the fact that he landed with the Pats is a great landing spot. I mean, a great value there in the third round.
Yep.
All right, Ryan, what you got here at the 305?
We're going back to tight end season. I'm taking Luke Musgraves. Super athletic. You don't have a real red zone threat in Green Bay. Jordan Love could, you know, bond with a nice young tight end who's athletic and make plays down the middle of the field.
Damn, this has had a lot of tight ends. What is that, tight end five or tight end four? Yeah, it's a lot of tight ends in the draft, and I think all of them have potential to be really good tight ends in the long run. All right, so I'm back on the clock here, and I'm going to go back to the running back position and take a guy that I know a couple guys are going for two really like. The landing spot's not really great because this offensive line is terrible, and there's already a running back there that people like. But I'll take Tajay Spears, who goes in the third round to the Bucks at 318. Again, like I said, they got a terrible offensive line. They got Baker Mayfield at quarterback. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, I kept seeing Tajay Spears, and I was like, oh, but the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks.
I like the guy they drafted last year. All right, so I'm up.
You are on the clock, yes, sir.
Give me. Oh, hold on.
Man, there's really not a lot that I like.
Yeah, there's like three guys I like. And I've got two picks left. All right, well, then I'll see which ones. Actually, screw it. I'll take Sam Laporta. He went in the first round.
Wow.
That seems wild. To the Dallas Cowboys.
That's what real bold. World?
That's not gonna happen.
Yeah, that's a
no.
When I was making that cheat sheet, I was like, "What?" I was like, "Am I missing something?"
They're missing something. What in the world?
Yeah.
Give me Sam Laporta. I don't think he's nearly as good as George Kittle or Noah Fant or even. Hockenson was as a prospect coming out of Iowa, but he's definitely riding the wave of those guys due to the helmet that he wore. But he is, above average athleticism, doesn't really show up in the way that he plays. But, at this stage, we know what the Cowboys have done with much worse tight end prospects. So pair him with Dak. I think there's good red zone value there.
I like it. All right, Ryan. What are we at, 308?
I'm taking Parker Washington to the Colts. I love Parker Washington. He's high in my rankings. I kind of just, the way this draft went, he did fall for me. I think he fits nicely at the Colts, who have these two big-bodied wide receivers on the outside and nobody to kind of like move the chains and play that slot, which he profiles perfectly as. Like when I watched him remind me a little bit of Emmanuel Sanders back in the day, which I think works perfectly with those guys.
I like it.
Great. Not love with the quarterback situation right now, but you know what? It could come. And he's a nice little dump off and safety blanket.
Yeah, good call. All right. So for my next pick here, I'm gonna give the listeners a peek behind the curtain here. So I did a little cheat sheet. I used the mock that I talked about, CBS Sports, and I created a cheat sheet where I took the top 50 current Superflex rankings and just assigned their landing spot so I can kind of see real quick these offensive players. There was one guy that I added to the top 50 because he went in the second round, and I even put on my sheet, who, question mark? I had to add a 51st spot. The Seahawks take Tyler Scott at the 222, and I literally have known nothing about this guy, but the fact that he went in the second round to a pretty decent landing spot, I will take Tyler Scott here in the third round with hopefully a little bit of upside. I don't know if either of y'all know who Tyler Scott is and can give me some more insight on him.
Well, Tyler Scott is out of Cincinnati. He's a speedster. He actually rates as a 76th percentile PSI guy in the pre-draft report. So there you go. He's right there with Rashee Rice and Josh Downs. He could be the guy that replaces Lockett.
Is that, you think that's too high, though, 222 for the Seahawks? They're taking him?
Yeah, it's probably a little high in this class. I wouldn't expect too many receivers going in the second round, and I don't think Tyler Scott would be one of those.
Yeah.
He's in the third round, sure.
Yeah, it was definitely surprising, and that's why he's the only one that I added that I didn't know. So there's a few other ones that I didn't know, but I was like, no, I'm going to pass over those guys because they went kind of later in the draft. But 222 is pretty good draft capital. I'll take a chance on him here.
Yeah. Jamie asked a question, the thing about Evan Hall. They haven't gone to the Patriots. So you got to answer that to him, being he added me for it.
Yeah, that's why he's been passed over. I think he would have probably gone already had he got a better landing spot for sure.
Yeah.
Are you going with that, Ryan, right here at the 310?
Oh, no. I'm not up yet.
Aren't you up now? Yeah, you're up now. No.
Oh, I thought I've...
You're right.
No.
You're right. No, I'm up. Yeah, we're back to Miguel. You're right. We're back to Miguel. Yeah, because he gave an analysis for Tyler Scott, so I just was thinking that you were up, but you're right. It's Miguel's turn.
I will take another tight end. I will take Tucker Kraft here. He went in the third round, pick 20 to the Dolphins. The Dolphins' current top tight end is Jerome Smythe. Yeah. So, yeah, I think he's going to start. You know, with Tua coming back, healthy, and you know, I saw today that he even contemplated retirement, so that he's doing all right. They have Tyreek and they have Waddle, which are two fantastic options, but you're going to need a third, and Tucker Kraft could be potentially that guy. He could be that sneaky tight end that no one saw coming.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good call. I was debating on him taking him over Tyler Scott, but yeah, great call. All right, Ryan, now you're up.
I'm taking my newest draft crush, who I just watched finally last week.
Kayshon
Boutte.
Kayshon Boutte.
Oh, God, no. Steve Smith's little videos he's been putting out actually turned me on to this guy. And it's Charlie Jones, who you didn't even put on the list, wide receiver from Purdue. This dude just knows how to get open. He made plays all over the field. He was covered up by Joey Porter Jr. and had him in shambles and put him in the spin cycle and got open constantly. Dukin makes plays and he catches everything. He's going to be a really good slot receiver somewhere. This has him going to the Browns. I know they have a good slot in Elijah Moore, but there's going to be ways to find use for a guy like him.
I like it. And at the 311, I mean, at this point, you're just betting on upside anyway.
Yeah.
I like that. All right, I'm going to close this out here at the 312, and I'm going to take a guy that got some pretty decent draft capital at the end of the third round, going to a decent landing spot, if we assume that DeAndre Hopkins will no longer be there. And I'll take Jonathan Mingo with the last pick here. He's going to the Cardinals at 332. So I haven't heard a ton about Mingo. I've heard him mentioned a couple times, but I do think opportunity sort of presents itself there with the Cardinals.
Oh, I was about to say, I was like, no one's took Mingo after it's been Jonathan Mingo. Jonathan Mingo month on Twitter. I feel like every other tweet is about Mingo.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about him recently.
Kind of funny to see him not get drafted here. So there he is. Last pick.
All right, let me recap that third round here. And we're doing pretty good on time. So maybe we'll get to some of our stock up, stock down. So third round went Sean Tucker. We went with McBride as a two running backs kick off the third round. And then we go two receivers with Rashi Rice, Josh Downs, Luke Musgrave, the fourth tight end off the board in the third round. Tajay Spears goes in the third at the 306. And then we have our fifth tight end, Laporta, going to the 307. Two receivers back to back with Parker Washington, Tyler Scott, and then another tight end, Tucker Kraft at 310. And then we finish off with Charlie Jones and Jonathan Mingo. All right. Great stuff, gentlemen. Let's go ahead and get into some stock up, stock down.
Stock up, stock down.
All right. So we're going to talk about some veteran players that potentially, they haven't lost their stock yet, but potentially with the draft, there are a couple guys that... could lose some value based on what we think their teams might do. And I'll go to you first, Miguel, here. If you have any guys that you think are sort of in trouble with their current status in fantasy, if their team was to draft a player that could be his same position.
Yeah, I kind of just touched on it. I've got two, and I think they're both on the exact same team. It's whoever the starting tight end and starting running back is for the Miami Dolphins, which at the moment is Durham Smythe and Raheem Mostert. I think Miami will finally draft a running back. We've been waiting for them to do that for, feels like every year we mock a running back to them since DeAndre Swift, and they haven't done it. And so that'll definitely supplant Mostert and Wilson. And then if they draft a tight end, that'll supplant Smythe or Saubert or Tanner Connor, whoever that is.
They could draft me and I might supplant those guys.
Yeah, I think he'll supplant them. So I think those are the vets that could easily lose their job depending on what happens in the draft here.
Stuff. Ryan, what do you got for one of your veteran guys that might lose some value in the draft?
It's gonna be Tony Pollard. The hype is as high as it's ever been. Zeke's gone. It's a clear world for him. But you know what? Jerry Jones is acting all coy and stuff when they talked about Bijan Robinson in the first round. They like a big back in Dallas, and Pollard is good in his role. So why beat him up? And I think we've seen his ceiling. I don't know if he's going to touch that ceiling again because they're going to draft a good running back this year or somebody to fill in that big position. And if it's Bijan, night-night Tony Pollard.
Yeah, that would be a brutal thing for fantasy because I think Pollard right now is like top six in dynasty running backs right now.
If they draft Bijan, though, Bijan's my RB1 easy because we're looking at Zeke, who's getting almost 300 touches every single year, and Bijan does that with athleticism now. Yeah, like Zeke, when he was young and athletic, was phenomenal, which we forget because he was a shell of himself. But man, when he had that skill set, like we see with Bijan, is he going to get ran into the ground? It's some beautiful
feels. Yeah. Yeah, that's the landing spot I've been calling for since the offseason basically started. I'm like, yeah, I think Jerry Jones is going to do it again. I think he's going to take that running back. Wow. I don't think he can help himself. I think he's like Al Davis in speed. He just can't help himself.
Yeah,
he loves running backs, dude. I mean, they've always had a good run. Dallas has always had a great between the tackles running back, and they're not going to change their way now because they think it's the 90s and they have five shifts from that.
Well, yeah, they feel like that's their thing, even though they haven't won anything in since, 95 or 4 or something.
Yeah, no,
So they'll just keep doing it. The old guy's going to keep doing what he knows best. That's just that. He owns the team, so kudos to him.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. I didn't even think about that one. I kind of grouped three guys, three running backs that are kind of on the older end. We mentioned a couple of them on this mock draft, but Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, if their teams draft a decent running back with some decent draft capital, I think those are the end of days for one of those three running backs. I think Nick Chubb is still great. I think Dalvin Cook is still great. Alvin Kamara kind of fell off a little bit, but I do think he still has potential. But if the team invests a decently high pick on a running back, I think we've seen the last of their relevant fantasy days, at least after this season. So those are the three that I picked as my guys that could be a little bit in trouble. All right, let's get to our forgotten fantasy player.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's forgotten fantasy player of the week.
All right, Miguel, you haven't been on in a while, so we changed this last segment. We have been doing it for so long that we started getting the same guys over and over again. So we decided to make it a little bit interesting where you're going to give us hints about your forgotten fantasy player. And me and Ryan have to try to guess who that player is.
Oh, man, I did not prepare for this. all right. I'll say running back.
All right, that helps.
Florida.
Like the Gators.
And
when did he play?
Wait, did he just play running back in the state of Florida, or are we talking the Florida Gators?
He played in the state of Florida. And
feel free to Google some stats if you got anything there you need to look up.
Ronnie Brown.
He's very charitable.
Work done.
Yeah, there you go.
Work done.
Charitable.
That didn't help me at all. The
he builds homes for for single mothers down the
floor. Yeah, he builds home for single mothers.
Good because stuff. He did it to a current NFL player too. I can't remember who it was. Like, a current NFL player's home was built by his charity.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. It's driving me nuts.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, he played at Florida State, and then he played for the Tampa Bay Bucs. So,
she's Florida all around.
He played in Florida.
Good stuff. All right, that wraps the podcast up. We'll go around the room real quick, do a little sound off. So we'll go to you first, Miguel. Give us your Twitter handle one more time, and if you want to plug the PSI or anything else you're working on.
Yeah, if you want to find me on Twitter, at ProFootballPSI, and also my blog, ProFootballPSI.com. Thanks again for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ryan, what you got?
Twitter 534, here Wednesday nights for the draft next week. On at least day one, maybe other days, who knows, wherever the wind leads us. Our mock draft on Sunday and over at the Rookie Big Board. And I just stole all of your everything.
You stole all my plugs. Yep, all my plugs. And yeah. Ryan is the plug man. So yes, this Sunday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're doing our 8th annual NFL mock draft. We'll do the first round. We got some great guests coming on to help us make those picks. It's always one of our most popular shows every year. So if you haven't watched it before, come check us out on Sunday night. And then, yeah, we're going to be live for all 3 days of the NFL draft. Not just me and Ryan. It'll be all the hosts over at Going for Two taking each segment of the show, of the draft. Covering it from a perspective of fantasy, just reacting to all the picks as we go through. Ryan will probably be drunk by the end of it, and we're only on for an hour, and Ryan will still find a way to get drunk.
But I might come on later. Who knows? Yeah. I've been invited on for a few shows of it, so I'll probably end up coming and just drink some bourbon.
Just drinking some bourbon. Time. Yeah, it's always a lot of fun, and it's good to get different hosts in there to get different perspective on things, and they can talk about different things. So it's a lot of fun. I like the way we do it this year. So good stuff. Thank you again, Miguel, for coming on. I'd love to get you on after the draft, and we can talk more about your PSI. I know draft capital means a lot in your model, so we can kind of see where they land and see how much you like them and all that good stuff. So appreciate it. And as always, Ryan, it's been fun, and I'll see you on Sunday. So for Miguel, Ryan, and I'm Jeff, we will see you Sunday.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.